are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand that the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks for all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. It's one of the things we're looking at on Thursday. Praise God. God has called us together, and He's called us together. One of the visions I have for church is that I can just see us as we gather together, we're worshiping and praising God and just so released in our praise and worship of God, not because it's the form of what we do, but because of out of the abundance of our heart, there just comes this overflow of praise and excitement and thankfulness, because we've all got a testimony of what God has done in our life and what He's doing, because He doesn't leave us. He doesn't just come and visit us when we pray and ask Him to come and do something in our life at that moment where we're crying out to Him, and He comes and visits us and meets the need and leaves the package and answers our prayers, and then off He goes again. He's always there. With God, He is constant. He's a constant God. And he's an ever-present help in time of trouble. He never leaves us. And that's such an encouragement to me to know. But as a church family, one of the things I've learned over my life is that how God will work through His church. And it's not just through one or two individuals, but together God wants to work and connect us together. And it's so important that we recognize that the importance that we have a place in church life, that we are the church, that we have a place to and a part to play, and that mentality to think, well, what am I going to get out of it, is a very worldly, earthly mentality. It's not the mentality of Christ. When we come together, it's who can I bless? Who can I encourage? What song, what psalm, what thing have you got for me to pour out into someone else's life? And we can either come to bless people, or we can come to drain people, or we can come just to be. And I believe God calls us as a people to be a blessing, and I think it's great. You know, the ladies met yesterday, and they were packed out in the room at the back. It was just a great atmosphere, although I wasn't able to stay. But it was just great to see them coming together to encourage one another and to bless one another. And the men be doing the same on Saturday. But we're told to meet together, and we're told to meet together more so as we see the day approaching, the day of Jesus' return approaching, and it's a day of, you know, a tremendous day of celebration for those who know Him, but for those who don't know Him, it will not be such an exciting day for them, a dreadful day. But the Bible tells us to encourage one another as we meet together, that we're called to be encouragers, and some of us may find that more difficult than others, but we're called to encourage one another. And sometimes just by being in someone's presence and listening to them, you can encourage them. By speaking the word of God, by listening to them as they share their testimonies, by encouraging them with the word of God, or sharing a scripture, or sharing something that God has helped you in your life some way. And, you know, when we're in our places of work, wherever we are, we think, well, how can I witness to somebody? I don't know the gospel. I couldn't explain sanctification, redemption, or justification. So we kind of use the excuse, well, I don't have enough experience or knowledge to tell someone about Jesus. And Jesus never asked us to have a doctorate of theology in sharing our faith with somebody. He's given all of us a story to tell. And that story was the day that you met Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us, wherever we are, to maybe find somebody, pray, God, give me somebody that I can share a testimony, share a story with. And as we begin to speak, and I find, as I begin to talk to somebody, if God is in that moment, then He will always give me more to say. He'll give me scriptures. He'll enable me to speak into the situation. He may begin to work in the spirit of discernment and words of knowledge. And, you know, I found all kinds of things happening. The Spirit just works wonderfully in these times. People begin to cry, or sometimes there's a moment where God's given me names for people that I haven't even known. It just come out of my mouth because the Spirit of God is moving. But God waits for us to take that first step in Him. And I'm not going to bring the message that I had prepared today because I just don't feel it's right. I just want to focus on this for a moment or two. And we're going to come around the table together as a church. And I want us to, we're going to do that together. But I want us to pray for one another together as well as we do that. But in this passage that I just read here, and thanks for shouting it out to us, Liz. It says, don't you be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't you be foolish. The Bible says the fool in his heart says there is no God. The first moment of any foolish accusation or attitudes we have is when we begin to deny God in our lives, in our situations. And God does not want us to deny him by our lifestyle, our testimony, or our lives. We can say, I believe in God, but our lives need to demonstrate a lifestyle that believes in God, not just a word of I believe in him or quote a few scriptures, but a lifestyle, as I said over the weeks, there needs to be a lifestyle of change. I want people to look at my life and they to see something different that Jesus Christ is shining through. He said, so do not be foolish. Before that, it says the days that we are living in are evil. And we know that. We switch on the television. We listen to something that's going on in the streets or some foul language that is going on around us. We some horrific things going on throughout the country. In this country, we see hear about child trafficking and some devastating, horrific things that we'd never think would hit you, the UK. They're all around us. The days we are living in are evil. Ungodliness. A rejection of the word of God. All that God says is good can be challenged. It has been challenged. But we know that God's word is true and every man is a liar. So make the most of your time with God. Make the most of the time that we have for one another. And as I've been thinking about, you know, this one of the themes that we've got for the year is about togetherness. And as I've been thinking about this, I've been realizing that how important it is that we dwell together. I don't just want to dwell together, but we need to dwell together. We need each other because the influence of the world around us is so strong that we need to be joined together. We need to be connected together. We need to be meeting together. We can't afford to be walking around in unforgiveness and falling out with one another over little things. And I don't. Hopefully we don't do that here. But we need to be connected together, that we need each other. Togetherness is so important that we're connected to one another and recognize and begin to start telling yourself, don't feel unworthy in the kingdom of God. Don't feel unworthy in the church. Begin to tell yourself, my brothers and sisters that need me. We can see our inadequacies. We can feel like we fall short. We feel that we have got nothing to offer. But Christ, I believe, he brings the church together and he's positioned you here for such a time as this. And don't ever, ever feel that you have any insignificance in this church, because that is a lie. You're here and you're called for a purpose. And part of the excitement of the journey is to discover what that is. And you may find you won't discover that on your own. I just love the journey of Moses, and then you see Joshua and the relationship that they have. And Moses is getting ready to go into the promised land, and God says to him at the end, he says, Moses, you're not going to be going into the promised land. I mean, the disappointment probably hit him quite hard, but he said, Joshua will be. And then you go and read later on how God told Moses that Joshua was going to be leading the people into the promised land. But not only did God tell Joshua, but God told Moses to tell Joshua, but God had to tell Joshua for himself. And the wonderful thing I think about church is that God will speak to you, but not only will he speak to you, he'll confirm his word by the mouth of two or three witnesses. So when God speaks to you about something in your life, somebody else will come along at some point, and you may have a conversation with them, or you may even ask them, what do you think God's saying about my life? And they will bring confirmation of what God is already saying to you. And that's so important, because if I feel God saying something to me and I'm not hearing confirmation from anywhere else, then I've got to be careful. If I feel God is telling me to be a worship leader, I would need to have a lot of confirmation about that. And I know Rachel would say no, because I've tried that, been there, done that before, and it was a disaster. But you know, we need to know what God is saying to us to do. It's so important, because you could find yourself doing something and living your whole life serving and fulfilling a call that was never yours. You know, God could be calling you into the workplace. He could be calling you to the mission field. He could be calling you into ministry. He could be calling you in some area of your life. You need to know what God is saying to you to do. And if we're tending to be people pleasers, the sad thing is we can find ourselves nature doing what people have called us to do, not what God has called us to do. So it's so important that God is your priority. And you begin to hear from God and then say, God, would you confirm it through people who are around me, who I can trust, who are people who are godly? Don't just go to people who tell you what you want to hear. Go to people who will pray for you and seek God for your life. But we have a position and we need to be serving God in that position. We don't come to draw off people, although we do come, we need one another. But we come to build one another up, to encourage one another, to serve. as a church. And he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, or filled with the Holy Spirit. I could really go to town with this morning. But I would just say this. Why get drunk, or why drink alcohol when you have so much better in God? God says, don't go down that road. But is given an even greater supply of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think we don't take advantage of what God has given us and the things of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we get so full of the Holy Spirit and begin to ask God, and let that be your daily intake, say every day, and that word to be drunk with the Holy Spirit, or drink the Holy, or be filled with the Holy Spirit, is that word be being filled. It's continuous tense. In other words, you know, when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, maybe you come to that point in your life and you've received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and maybe you begin to speak in tongues. There comes some evidence there, or some demonstration. There's a difference. You have a new lease of life in you. And something happens, but then as you go through life, things hit you, life hits you, busyness, and you all of a sudden you find yourself getting a bit dry. Anyone feeling dry in life? So the Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, don't allow yourself to be dry in the things of God. God's Spirit will never, I don't believe the Holy Spirit will ever stop running. The tap has never switched off. It's never blocked off. The only thing that can block it off is you and I in our life, through our resistance, through our continuing to ignore Him, continue to walk in sin. Or if we continue to fill our lives with things of this world that are not of God, then we won't want the things of God. And you know, this week, one of the things that, you know, God spoke to me a few times in these dreams, and I was just loving it. I didn't want to wake up sometimes. I was just thinking, God is loving this. I wake up and just feeling the presence of God, and just wonderful. But one of them this week, I was standing on the edge of this mountain, and it was just full of snow-capped mountain. It was snow everywhere, and it was just beautiful. And I love snow because I love snowboarding, and I just love being in those Swiss mountains. But the pureness of the whitest of snow. And as I stood there, I just found myself just proclaiming and declaring the word of God and calling people to come away. And they were coming away, and I just saw people beginning to drop things. They were dropping addictions. They were dropping sins. They were dropping things that were tied to their life, whatever that may be, things that had a hold on them, things that maybe it seemed so insignificant, but just letting go of everything just to come to God and responding to God. Because the eyes were not on what they had, the eyes are on God. And I believe that as we set our eyes upon God, we'll just let go of things. And things don't have a hold on you. Do you know that? Things cannot have a hold on you. Sin cannot have a hold on you. Addictions cannot have a hold on you. Drink cannot have a hold on you. Smoking cannot have a hold on you. Lies and gossip cannot have a hold on you. Bitterness cannot have a hold on you, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and He set you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. It cannot have a hold on you unless you've got a hold of it. And sometimes we hold on to things so tightly because we like it and we don't want to let it go. And we've got to learn to hate that which God hates. And the moment we let go, it will have no hold on your life. And I believe the Lord was saying we need to let go of some stuff in our life and run to the mountain of the Lord. Come closer to Him. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's such an encouraging word that God says, I want to fill you with my presence. I want to fill you with my goodness. I want to fill you with my power. I want to fill you with my fervency. I want to fill you with all that I am. I don't want to just be with you. I want to fill your life. I pray that would stir something within us that says, I want that. You know, if there was an advertisement on the telly for a new gadget or a new thing that we hadn't seen before, we'd be, wow, I've got to have that sometimes. And we get that excitement, and we think about how we can save to get that new item that's being advertised, and everyone's buying it, it's all over the place, and we desire to have it. But what about the Holy Spirit? Shouldn't there be the same hunger? Shouldn't there be more of a hunger and a desire to say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want more of your presence. I want more of your holiness. I want more of your goodness. I want more of your power. I want more of your love and your grace and your mercy. Just fill me. Fill me. But when our lives are so full of so much insignificant things in our life, then where's God going to say, where can I fill? That's why the Bible says that God is looking for empty vessels, pure vessels. And I believe that God loves us so much that sometimes he'll take us through those times where we'll be punctured and that we'll begin to pour out the things in our life that shouldn't be there anymore. And isn't it wonderful? Have you found that as you walk closer to God, have you found this? If you haven't, I believe we should. As we grow closer to God, that we find that we don't want things that we used to want. We find that we don't maybe speak the way that we used to, that we begin to see people in a different way, that maybe that we used to despise and speak about and be glad not to be in their presence, but that we find ourselves loving them and caring for them because we become more like Christ, because more of the Holy Spirit can work in our lives. I believe God wants to just pour out his Holy Spirit. He says, speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart. I love being at home, you know, when I'm around sometimes hearing the girls and just hearing them singing. And sometimes I hear Rachel singing when she's in the kitchen cooking something. And I just love it when I hear people singing to Jesus, making that melody in your heart. When we have a song that we sing to Jesus, and I don't want to ever lose that in my household. I don't want ever to stop. But there's a song that goes to praise to God. And I get the joy. How much joy does God get when we make melody in our hearts? We begin to sing out of that joy and praise to God. You know, there is so much freedom when we begin to sing. You know, I believe chains can come off and they begin to fall. And they won't have a hold. I believe the enemy begins to flee when we begin to sing praises to the Lord. I believe that our perception begins to change when we begin to sing praises to God. I believe that our faith level will begin to increase as we begin to sing praises to God, as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs is a fresh song. The Bible says in the Old Testament, it says, sing out, O barren woman, you has never given birth. You know, when we begin to sing out a new song, as we begin to declare, as you begin to sing, you may sing in the Spirit. As you begin to sing, just break out in song to the Lord. And I just see this, and I pray over the worship team often, that as they begin to sing, they begin to sing a new song, a song we've never heard before. But it'd be such a melody, a song from the heart. And as that incense arises, the Spirit of God begins to dwell and begins to move in our midst as we begin to sing and make spiritual songs in our hearts. God wants hearts to him, heart songs to him, not from our mouths, from our hearts, but melody in unison. Here it is again, togetherness. I wonder what our response would be if somebody broke out in a song right this moment. That God just broke out on a song in the midst of our meetings. Would it be, oh no, they're so out of tune? Would it be, oh no, not now? Would we be causing disunity, or would we begin to feel, praise God? Would we join with the Spirit of God? Because I believe when the Spirit of God, he will begin to set us to be uncomfortable in times. He'll cause us to move because so we don't fall asleep. It'll keep us on edge. And God wants to keep us on edge. Keep a melody in your hearts. Let there be amens resounding in us. Let there be hallelujahs resounding in us. It has to be done in things of the Spirit, not to bring disunity or disruption, but to move in the things of the Spirit. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord. Be subject to one another out of fear of Christ. Being subject to one another out of fear of Christ. We were looking at that on Thursday. Just the importance of submitting to one another. And that's not lording over one another and saying, you will do this, you will do that, but willingly submit and surrender to one another. You know, when I get up this morning and I got in the car to drive my car, my feet had to push the pedals, my hand had to be in gear, my head had to be in gear, my eyes had to be in gear, my ears had to be in gear. They had to work together. If my hand didn't submit and do what I wanted, then I couldn't change gear and it'd be an awful noise coming down here this morning in one gear. So we have to be submission to one another. And when there is no submission, there is just an awkwardness amongst us. You know, when there is a cry, and I just love this, you know, I remember the day when the fireman came round this place and he said, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. And I'm thinking, I just have not got time, I don't know where to start. And there was just a cry in my heart, I think, what do I do? And I just heard this little voice say, ring up Tim. And I thought, all right, then I rang. And his response was, yep, no problem. I can do that. That's no problem. And he got straight on it. And I just thought, that's just what a picture of it I see of just submitting. You know, it wasn't a resistance. I don't know what was going on in Tim's heart, but that willingness to submit. And I thought, if we all responded in that time when there is a need and we're able to help, that we just say, yep, what can I do? Yep, how can I work together? I see this body just working so wonderfully together and the Spirit of God just blessing us. And I believe that Spirit is there amongst us. And when we see something, let's work together. Let's move together with songs in our heart, with joy and delight, not begrudgingly, not resistingly, not what am I going to get out of this attitude, but yes, my body needs me, the body of Christ needs. And as I move, the Spirit of God is going to move through me and enable me to do this. And as I was reading Exodus, and I will close with this, and we'll come around the table. As I was reading through Exodus this week, and it got to a point where Moses, where God was speaking to Moses about a particular gentleman in the tribe. He said, I have anointed with the skill to do the work which I have called. And it's this practical work in the temple. And I believe that the Spirit of God will anoint every area of our lives. It won't be just the things that we see on the out front, maybe the song or the preaching of the word or the delivery of the word. But I believe the Spirit of God will anoint every area if you allow him to. I believe he can even anoint the teas and coffees. He can anoint as people are coming in the door, as people come and being blessed and things just dropping off them as they come through the door and just feeling to such a lightness of the Spirit of God as the welcome team gets come. I believe God can work on the sound and every area if we allow him to, because God, we cannot limit God. Nothing is impossible with God. And when you say, God, would you anoint every area of my life, every activity, every word that I speak, every word that I sing, every move that I make, Lord, that your Spirit be in it all, and let me just shine Jesus in my life, and let us shine Jesus together as a church. So as we come round the table together, and Mick, are you all right to come? And I wonder if maybe Mick would help serve. Maybe we just gather together around the table. Could we do that? And as we serve one another, maybe begin to pray. Yeah, you can come. Just come. There's not many of us here, so we can do this today. So everyone, you can just come and gather around. And as we serve together, maybe we can begin to pray for one another. Because this table, I just love the fact that Jesus came up with the idea and brought it as a time of communion together. We are the family of God, every one of us. And as we serve one another, maybe we can just begin to pray. And if you want to put your hands on somebody and begin to pray for them. But the Bible says that as we take this, you know, that we're to examine our hearts. We know the scriptures, examine our hearts. But this is his body, which is broken for us. Some of us have gone through brokenness in our lives. But God broke his body so he would bring his church together. He is the head of the body. So we're coming to the head, but God wants to join us together. And I just pray that this will be a time of unity together for us as a church. And not just for us here, but for extended for a church outside that aren't here with us today. So thank you, Lord.